Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to an all-new episode of Jet Nation Radio. Dennis Agapito and Tyson Roche give their opinions on the latest Jets news.
How about our offense? When are we going to put it together? When are we going to put it together? Can we not run the ball down their throats every snap? Can we not throw it any time we want to throw it? Can we have fun? You're damn right. I demand that we have fun.
And now here they are, your hosts, Dennis and Tyson.
Good evening, Jet Nation, and happy holidays. This is Dennis Agapito, and thank you very much for joining us once again for a fantastic episode of Jet Nation Radio. Once again, this is an interactive show, and we need you, the listeners, to correspond with us. So you can find us on Twitter. It's at Jet Nation Radio. You can also give us a call. The number is 646-716-4697. Please hit 1 when prompted. But, of course, I want to bring in my good friend and co-host, Mr. Tyson Roush. So, Tyson, a victory this week. I mean, it is what it is. The Cleveland Browns came in with their 4-10 record, and now they're 4-11. But, you know, a victory is a victory.
Dennis, winning is a great deodorant, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. It depends upon how stinky you are. But we're also very pleased to be joined tonight by my JetNation.com colleague, Mr. Ron Pickett. Ron handles kind of the personnel side. He does a lot of draft stuff for us. So I want to bring Ron on now. So, Ron, thank you for joining us with Jet Nation Radio tonight. We got a lot of things to go over. We really appreciate you coming on.
Absolutely, man. It's my pleasure.
All right, great. So, I mean, why don't we just kind of jump right into it since, we can get into the Cleveland game a little bit. We're going to get into the personnel stuff moving forward, kind of what happened. But obviously the big news of the day is regarding Rex Ryan and his future. And I guess I'll get Tyson's take on this first, then Ron, I want yours, and then I'll get into it. And, of course, if anybody wants to chime in, again, the phone number is 646-716-4697 to talk about Rex's future. So, Tyson, what do you think about Rex Ryan? You know, as of this moment, they're 7-8. They got one more game left against Miami, who's playing for the playoff lives. What do you think moving forward with Rex Ryan?
You know, Dennis, this is really – I find this whole situation fascinating at this point. I mean, this has been a roller coaster ride for the Jets and Rex this year. I mean, there were times where both like, he's a dead man walking. There's no way he's going to survive. There was that three-game losing streak. Then there's times like, you know what, we believed in him. And now it seems like, you know, if the Jets would have lost yesterday, say they that 10-0 and went to 20-0, they got blown out yesterday. I wonder if there'd be say, that same support there is now for Rex Ryan. I mean, before we go into it, I mean, Dennis, don't you think like this? The Jets beat a 4-10, a very bad Cleveland Brown team. You know what I mean? So it's like everybody's excited. Rex was fired up. He yelled at the referee when Geno got hit out of bounds. I mean, I got all fired up. It was great. But I'm like, if the Jets got blew up, did they get their doors blown off yesterday? Do you think we can have the same conversation right now?
No, probably not. But, you know, I mean, if you have anything else on that, otherwise we'll throw it to Ron and we'll see what he has to say. But, no, if they had gotten, kind of blown out or lost and, maybe in a little bit of an embarrassing fashion, I don't think the support would be there for Rex. I think people are saying they overachieved, and I just wonder, again, coming out of the bye week, did they really overachieve since then? But maybe we can just jump to Ron and get his opinion on this, and then we'll come back to you, Tyson, okay?
Cool.
Yeah.
Ron?
Listen, I agree with Tyson to a certain extent. You know, actually, in the first quarter, it looked like they didn't want him to be their coach. They were listless. They were down 10-0 really quickly. And for me, I said, maybe these guys just had enough of Rex. But you know what? They came out, they made some adjustments, and they played very well in the rest of the game. Look, we all know who Rex Ryan is. He's a passionate. He cares about his players. He cares about his coaches. He goes 110% in game planning for the defense. And, you know, part of my problem is all these people who say, well, Rex Ryan is a defensive mind. He doesn't care about the offense. I mean, how many coaches in the NFL are truly that well-rounded that they could just take a little bit of each and put it all together? I watched Bill Belichick yesterday in the Patriot game sitting with the defense going over what the offense was doing. I mean, didn't Rex get reamed for that earlier in the year? for turning to his defense and saying he didn't see some of the interceptions being thrown in the preseason. So, to me, I mean, look, I've been the biggest Rex supporter. I've been a basher. I like how the guys play for him. They love playing for him. That's the reason why they've gotten a lot of the free agents that they've gotten. Even the young rookies, they say that they love playing for Rex. You know, a lot of guys have been behind them, and, you know, I can't disagree with them.
Yeah, but see, Ron, here's my question for you. I've been tough on Rex, and, I mean, I honestly thought he should have been fired before the season, so I mean, I'll admit to that, and now I'm kind of, like, stuck in the middle because I can see both sides. But my question for you is, after you get past the fact that the players love him and the fans love him, all that great, you know, feel-good story, look at down the nuts and bolts of this. The Jets' offense has been bad. Now it seems like they finally got the coordinator they need after they went through that horrific Tony Sperano experience. So now, do you think keeping Rex is contingent upon the fact that they want Geno Smith to be their franchise quarterback? And the reason why I'm asking you that is, if you keep Rex, you keep Morningweg. If you fire Rex, it's a pretty good chance Marty's out of here as well. So for the continuity for Geno, do you think the Rex Ryan, you know, the argument for Rex Ryan is a contingent on, you know, making Geno the guy in his development?
You know, I don't know. I mean, you know, you can say that because of what happened to Mark Sanchez with the three coordinators in 4 years or whatever. But in my mind, do I think Rex is tied to Geno or as far as helping Geno? I don't think so. But I agree with you, Tyson, in the fact that a new coach comes in, he may have a whole different type of scheme than what Marty Morningweg likes to run. And he also might decide, well, maybe I don't want to run a 3-4 defense. Maybe I want to run a 4-3. So you never know what a new coach is going to bring. You don't know the ideologies of his coaching. So in my mind, do I think that Rex coming back is contingent on, you know, or vice versa, you know, coming back for Geno? I don't think that's going to be an issue when John Isaac and Woody sit down and decide, are we bringing him back or not?
Okay, and then I guess, and that's fair. Now, here's my second question for you. And these are things that I wonder about. You hear so many things. You read the Twitter's on fire with all the Jet stuff. The one thing about Rex Ryan is people seem to be worried about most is this defense. You know, the defense, I mean, Cobles is coming on. They're playing, I mean, the front seven is tremendous. They're playing very well. And people are worried if Rex Ryan leaves, this defense is going to go away. And so my question for you is twofold. If Rex is fired, but the team retains Dennis Thurman, is that good enough to keep this defense intact? And the second question is, if you bring in a guy like Bill O'Brien, don't you think a quality, you know, coach in general, a quality veteran coach or a quality football coach, if he sees that kind of talent on defense, he can maximize it. I mean, it may not be the level of Rex, but, I mean, good players are good players, and a good coach will maximize his resources.
Yeah, well, you got to think about it this way. There's 32 teams in the league. There's a lot of good defenses in the league. Only two are run by Ryans. So, you know, it's not because Rex Ryan is this defensive guru. There's a lot of good defenses out there. Other guys who know how to run a 3-4 defense. If a new coach comes in and says, hey, you know, I love what Dennis Thurman did with this defense. I love his passion for the game. I'm going to keep him around. I don't think there'll be a drop-off because he's learned these principles from Rex for the last 5 years. He's been in the system a long time. I think it would be stupid for a new coach to not give Dennis Thurman an opportunity to run the defense, especially an offensive-minded head coach.
Well, Ron, I hear what you're saying about keeping Dennis Thurman, but you know what? If a new coach comes in, he might just want a clean house and bring in his own guys, and he might have his own philosophy. And I've heard this a lot of, you know, keep Morningweg, keep this. Remember, Rex was kind of stuck with Schottenheimer, and you wonder if he really wanted to keep Schottenheimer. Now, I know we've gone through a revolving door of coordinators now. I also wonder about bringing in another coordinator next year. And, you know, now this will be Sperano, at least from Schottenheimer, Sperano to Morningweg, and now to somebody else. That's a little bit difficult. But we do have a caller on the line. I want to bring him in. I actually had an opportunity to meet him. It's Jude from North Carolina. He was at the Cleveland Browns game. So, Jude, we have Dennis, Tyson, and Ron on today. Thanks for hopping aboard with us. It was nice to meet you at the Cleveland Browns game. Big victory. The rain held off, and it was really warm, and it was it was a fun game to be at.
Oh, yeah, it was a good game to be at. It was very good meeting you, Dennis. You seem like you were a very nice person and everything. Great host, all that stuff. I hope everyone's doing well.
Yes, we're doing great. So what do you got for us on the Jets, Jude?
Okay, well, the Jets played pretty well on Sunday. It was probably one of the more dominating performances we've had this season. After Cleveland took that 10-0 run, stadium was dead. I thought, oh, my goodness, here we go again. But then since then, second half, I think we only held them to just 3 points, I think. So very good output from us altogether. Dino looked great out there, very confident. Defense looked pretty good. Milner was great with that interception. Overall, it was a good day. And as for Rex, I think I flip-flopped on this at this time. I think it would be best if we get him, say, a two-year extension because, I mean, it's not about exceeding the media's expectations of the team, but rather how we've been improving over the last month or so. I mean, we've always talked about how, wow, Rex is collapsing in December. Wow, he's really bad in December. But so far we've won 2 out of our 4 games in December and been competitive in our last 3 games. And that's an improvement for the last 2 years.
Jude, I got to cut you off, man. This is Tyson. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm sorry to get you to meet you yesterday. I was busy trying to celebrate my birthday. But here's my question for you.
Yes.
Do you think if the Jets got their doors blown off yesterday, would you have the same feeling about Rex that you do today?
Most likely not, because it would continue to trend from the past 2 years.
Okay, and then my second question for you is, everybody's talking about they're finishing strong in December, which I appreciate that, but let's keep in mind who they beat. I mean, they beat the Raiders and the Browns. I mean, I'm going to come up like the negative guy. I'm just going to play devil's advocate just because, to generate conversation, but it's not like the Jets went out yesterday to beat the Carolina Panthers. They beat a bad Browns team without one of their best players, their tight end. So it's like, it's encouraging. It was good to see. It was great to see Rex fired up, but I'm like, I don't want to get caught up in one game to say, decide how Rex is coaching. So if you're going to keep Rex and you said you want to give him a 2-year extension, what is warranting that? What about Rex, other than his defensive prowess, makes you want him to be your coach for the next 2 years?
One thing that I was really shocked by and that makes me want him to at least coach is the fact that it seems like everyone on our team is literally like, I haven't seen anyone say, wow, Rex is a bad guy. I mean, obviously they wouldn't say that to the media, but you would see anonymous sources saying, wow, I don't like Rex here. But literally everyone has come forward and say, wow, I really like playing for Rex. Wow, I think he's a great motivator. Wow, I would do anything for Rex. And it's like, oh, my goodness. I mean, I know it exists that he's not a guy who would do things based on public perception, but it might be hard for Insig if he were to fire Rex and hire a new guy. Expectations on this new guy might be fairly high.
To be honest with you, that's my question. I mean, we'll throw this to Ron in a second, but my question to you is, you don't fire Rex just to make a change. You fire Rex if you have a guy, a very strong candidate in mind that you want to replace him with. Like, you don't fire Rex and then go on a 3-month search for a coach if you want to find somebody else. John Insig has to have a guy in mind right now. So if he doesn't, and he fire Rex, that's going to really piss me off. So, I mean, Ron, I'll go to you real quick. I mean, what do you think about that? I mean, my kind of opinion is if the Jets do fire Rex, they have to have a clear-cut guy they have in mind, and it can't be part of a search. I mean, don't you agree, Ron?
Yeah, absolutely. Don't you think that I think John Insig has a list of guys. Because, look, he's preached since he's gotten here. Now, everybody knows John Insig's past. He's a very patient person when it comes to personnel and it comes to cap situations, comes to hiring and firing. But for him this year, he's got to have a list of guys who he thinks he can bring in here just because he has to. He doesn't know. Right? We could have lost, we could have been 1-7 in the last 8 games. I mean, Isaac doesn't know that. He's got to prepare for the future. He has to have some names in mind. And maybe that's what Rex heard, the grumblings, and then you heard the report before the game from, I think it was Jay Glazer, that Rex told the team he's probably going to get fired. As a general manager, you almost have to have somebody waiting in the wings or somebody who you plan on hiring if you're going to do something like this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I was going to say I agree.
All right, Jude, you agree with that, and we're gonna kind of wrap up the call. Jude, is there anything else you wanted to bring up about Rex? Because here's the thing with me with the extension, and this is kind of where Rex is a victim of circumstance, because if you say gave him an extension and then he went into next year and was 7-9, let's just say next year, I mean, do you have to fire him? I want to answer that question, Jude, and can you justify standing up there and saying we're giving Rex a 1-year extension? You know, if they give him a one-year extension, isn't it kind of just like a nominal thing? Like, you're not showing support for Rex Ryan. I almost think that the next, whatever the coaching staff is that comes back next season, has to be there for at least 3 years in a row, period. I don't care if it's Rex or anybody. So, I mean, that's where I have the issue right now, why I think that Rex is going to be let go. But, Jude, I want to get your input on that, and then maybe we'll wrap up the call.
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, if Rex does go 7-9 and we significantly upgrade everything around our team, not just defense,
uh-huh.
but if Rex goes 7-9, it would depend on how we get there. Do we collapse? Do we have a slow start? Do we collapse?
Jude, time out. So if they significantly upgrade the offense, and we don't say we have these terrible skill players, we have a very good, decent offense, and, you know, the defense is still so solid, maybe they make a little upgrade at safety or whatever, and he goes out and he's 7-9 next year. He's not going to get fired, losing seasons in a row without making the playoffs. I know 1 year was a 500 season, but you don't think that you have to fire him after that?
Oh, yeah, you know what, you make a good point. Four losing seasons would be a very hard deal to keep anyone in there, so he would probably be let go. I mean, three seems to be the limit, but four would definitely be let go at that point. I wouldn't be mad at all.
Yeah, let me just follow up on that, because here's what I'm thinking. I mean, looking at the Jets next year, and I hate to say this, you know, I think that John Izzy still looks at it like this is a work in progress, and we're not a championship-caliber team. I know we can bring bits and pieces in, but like Ron just said, he's a very patient man, John Izzy. He has a long-term vision, and if Woody Johnson is really allowing him to implement this long-term vision, then, you know, next year is not going to be like we're going to throw 11 free agents in here and we're going to be a contender. It might be a step in the right direction, but still a stepping stone where Rex Ryan would ultimately be set up to fail. So bring in a new coaching staff, let them have that honeymoon period, and let them have the 3 or 4 years that they need to build a championship-caliber team. So I'm sorry, Jude. I lost track of my thought there. So that's what I feel, Jude. But we're going to kind of wrap up the calls. We're going to move on to the show. Jude, listen, it was a pleasure to meet you this week at the game. I'm glad the game was good. I'm glad that the rain held off. But that's why I think that Rex Ryan doesn't really have a chance to remain as coach. He's kind of a victim of his circumstances right now between the 5 years he's had here and what's going to happen moving forward. But, Jude, happy holidays to you and your family. I hope you have a very happy and safe new year, and it's been great talking with you this year on Jet Nation Radio.
Thank you. Same to you all. Have a good day now.
Okay, Jude. Take care. All right, that was our friend Jude. I had a chance to meet up with him at the game, and it was nice to meet Jude because he calls in almost every week. And, that's my take on Rex, Ron, and Tyson. If you want to tear into me, I just think that there's just, you know, logistically moving forward, you got to have a coaching staff in here long term. And you just can't give Rex another year and cross your fingers and hope that he progresses enough that you can give him another year after that. Unfortunately, whether you like it or not, that's the way I feel looking at it objectively.
See, Dennis, my question for you is this. I agree with you, but my question for you is this. Who do you think, honestly, is making the decision on Rex? And before I ask, the reason why I'm asking is this. When Woody Johnson hired John Izzy was forced to inherit Rex Ryan because Woody Johnson, I honestly believed in him, could make a contract, could do whatever it is. So now everybody here is saying that John Izzy wants to bring in his guy, John Izzy wants to do this, John Izzy wants to do that. To me, did he have the ultimate power saying, you know what, I want to bring in my own guy? Or is Woody Johnson going to say, listen, this is my coach, I want him to, you know, like, Woody Johnson, in my eyes, should have the final say. I'm not necessarily sold on the fact that John Izzy has all this power that everybody's giving him. I mean, do you think he has all that power?
Well, I'm just going to say this, that everything's done in a committee and it's a process. How's that for a Mike Tannenbaum answer?
Oh.
You know what? I want Ron to answer this question. Ron, you answer it for me. I'll answer it after you. You heard Tyson's question, so I want to get your input on this first before I answer.
Well, I think first things first is I think that because it took so long for Woody to find the GM, I think Rex Ryan coming back was happened before Izzy was even hired. And you know, be honest with you, like Tyson said, I really don't know if Ezek had a choice whether to keep Rex or not. But, you know, all you hear is that they have a great working relationship, which is a professional thing to say. In my mind, Tyson, I ask myself the same thing. How much power is Woody going to have when it comes to talking about who's going to be the next head coach of this team or if Rex Ryan is going to come back? is John Isaac the sole guy, or is John Isaac bringing his group of people together and saying, listen, here's what we got. We got Rex Ryan. You know, he did a lot with what he had this year. But you know what? We might want to bring the team into another direction. And who's to say that his direction is the same direction Woody Johnson is thinking? So I agree with you, Tyson, to a point where we just don't know. Unless you were a fly on that wall, you would just have no idea who's in charge there.
I guess, and then, Dennis, to go back to you real quick, as you guys mm-hmm. have a ton of questions tonight, is, you know, Ron, I agree with what you're saying, but here's the bigger issue, and here's the thing that, you know, I always think about Woody Johnson is he loves headlines, he's about ticket sales, he's about the Jets being in the headlines. If you look at it right now, Rex Ryan is the face of this franchise. I mean, who are you going to market on this team? It's not Geno Smith. Who is it? It's not Ed Reed. I mean, you don't have – Rex Ryan is your face in the franchise. So now if you decide to go in a different direction going into next year, Dennis, how much does that play into this decision? I mean, you got to think about it that way too. No, I mean, right now he's your face. Are you willing to part ways with that, you know, just because John Isaac wants to get one of his own guys?
I think the bottom line here is you want to win, okay? And here's the problem with the contract. It's not, I don't think Woody Johnson's cheap, but – You can't have Rex Ryan coach next year under his current contract without extending him, okay? It's going to be a major distraction, and the problem, once again, is you need consistency. If you tell me right now Rex Ryan is coming back for the next 3 years guaranteed, I'm fine with it. John Isaac has brought a long-term approach, and I think Woody Johnson is buying into it. Does that mean that Woody Johnson won't meddle? No, but when Isaac came in, I think he was told, you're going to have to trade Darrelle Revis. But you know something? John Isaac stood his ground. If he wasn't getting that number one pick from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Darrelle Revis would have stayed with the Jets. Now, who knows if he would have got traded later before the trade deadline. But John Isaac said, I'll trade him, but I'm trading him when we get an offer that suits what we should get. And Woody Johnson gave him the autonomy to say, you do what you need to do. So I think that John Isaac does have a lot of power here. I don't think he has ultimate power because Woody could always override him. But I do think that John Isaac has a lot of power. I do think he wants to bring in somebody who has a similar philosophy than he does. Rex was kind of forced upon him. I don't think he looks at Rex as a complete failure. But you know something? I just can't see, again, next year. I'm sorry to say this. I hope I'm wrong. I don't think the Jets next year, even with improvements, are a playoff-caliber team. I just don't think they're a playoff-caliber team next year. Maybe they're a little bit closer. And you know what? Can you bring Rex back and just say, okay, well, we're kind of mediocre, we're kind of this, we're kind of that, or fire him? If you fire Rex Ryan after next season, if you fire him, you just wasted another season. And this year was the season you were supposed to be rebuilding and getting better and all these things. And if they don't believe that they did that, Isaac is going to pull the trigger here, and Woody Johnson is going to say fine, because Woody Johnson understands that Rex Ryan can't be extended, that he can't stand up there and say, I'm giving this guy a contract extension and justify it right now. You just can't justify giving him a 2 or 3 year contract extension. And if you give him a 1 year contract extension, everybody knows you're only doing it nominally and that you want to fire him if he stinks next year. Again, a lame duck status. You can't have that in your coaching staff. You got to have some stability. And that's what I'm saying to you. Ultimately, Tyson, is I think Isaac has enough pull here to – even if Woody wants to keep Rex, to talk him out of it. Ron, what do you think?
I think you hit the nail right on the head. I think that Isaac is going to be given the final word, and Woody's going to give him the go-ahead to do whatever he has to do to help this team win. I think Woody's starting to see the bigger picture. The
exactly.
more wins you have, the more people you're going to put in the seats, the less
exactly.
frustrated fans you're going to have. And I think that if they change that, they get a couple of weapons on offense, they plug and play a couple guys on defense, and especially at the safety position, they'll improve. Okay, like you know, Dennis said, they won't be a playoff team. You know, I wouldn't go as far as to say that yet because we don't know what they're going to bring in. We don't know what they're going to do in the offseason. We don't know who the coach is going to be. But, you know, we're going to see improvement. God, I hope we're going to see improvement on the offense. And whether Rex is the coach or not,
I don't know if we lost Ron there. Guys, you still got me?
Yeah, we got him.
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, I'm just going to elaborate that to Tyson, then I'm going to let you in. You know, here's the thing, and again, Ron hit it on – Ron, I have to go back at you with the nail on the head kind of thing. you know, the Jets always send me these surveys about how they can make the game experience better, and I almost want to say win the game. You know, don't have me sitting there in a seat watching a 30-9 blowout where the Dolphin fans are laughing in my face. I mean, I know there's not that much control over that, but I think John Gibson brings a long-term approach, and look at Seattle and kind of where they are now. A long-term approach that, you know, we talk about salary cap space and draft picks. A.J. Jenkins was a number one overall pick, the 30th overall pick in the 2012 draft, a wide receiver for the San Francisco 49ers. He didn't play a play for the 49ers. He got traded away for Jonathan Baldwin. When you go out and draft players, you don't know what you're getting. You don't know. You can only hope that they work out and they take some time to develop before you know what you got there. Free agency, I think Isaac will go into free agency, but I don't think he wants to build the team through free agency because that has been proven time and time again. Like we talked last week, Tyson, you add pieces through free agency. I think he will try to add pieces to improve, but ultimately I think he wants to get this team built through the draft, through plug-and-play guys that you move up through the system, that learns the system, and ultimately when veteran guys have to move on because you can't afford them anymore, you have that guy to plug in behind it, and that's how you succeed every year. And the last thing, Tyson, I'll throw it to you is, again, the quarterback situation. Look, I know there's the flip side to Geno Smith. Is it the chicken or the egg kind of thing? Is Geno going to be better next year? Better weapons around him as a year under his belt, and you just need to be patient. Can he be the guy moving forward? He hasn't proven that he can, and he hasn't proven that he can't. And ultimately, if he's not the guy next year, and if they go with him and build around him, they have to go into 2015 and get another quarterback. And you know what? Rex will be fired anyway. So I just don't see how Rex sticks around. But Tyson, go ahead. You want to elaborate on what I said?
No, I mean, I agree. And that's the biggest, I think mine is the biggest problem right now. I mean, the Jets need to significantly upgrade their talent base. That's just a fact. If Rex is here or not, next year they need to significantly upgrade their talent. And they're going to do that because now they have the resources to do it. This year was the cleanup year. Next year is the year to go after it. And they're going to do that. So if he's going to have a chance to do that, now it's like, who's going to benefit from that? And to me, I guess, like you said, Dennis, the NFL is a passing league. It's about offense, it's about scoring points. And like you said, Geno Smith hasn't shown that he can do it, but he hasn't shown that he can't do it either. And that's the biggest frustration going into next year. So now it's like, do you waste a high draft pick on a quarterback? Do you trade for somebody? Do you get a veteran? That uncertainty at the quarterback position makes it difficult to make a decision on Rex. Because now this would be, you know, say it'd be his third starting quarterback. It's like, how many chances this guy is going to get? You know what I mean? So Ron, I guess I'll go to you, Ron. What are your thoughts on Geno Smith? I guess for looking towards next year, that's got to be the biggest concern for the Jets. I mean, you can get the guy receivers, you can get him tight ends, you can get him all this stuff. If he can't play quarterback, you're still screwed. So, I mean, what do you see out of Geno, and what do you think he needs to do next year to get better?
Well, I think that's the biggest problem right now for this team is trying to figure out what Geno Smith is. Is he a franchise quarterback? Is he going to be a serviceable backup in the future for this team? We don't know. But it frustrates you to no end because there's signs of, wow, that was a beautiful pass. Wow, he could really play. And then there are signs of, like, why is he staring down that receiver and throwing that interception? So it's really hard to say. And in my mind, you mentioned a high draft pick. You know, with the Jets having 12 picks, which they're not going to pick, in my mind, I don't think they're going to pick 12 guys. I think they might be able to trade up again into the second round or something like that and maybe pick up a quarterback and bring in more competition through the draft. Because you know what? If they surround Geno with weapons and he doesn't perform, now what? You need a backup plan. Like they said, there could be eight first-round quarterbacks taken in this draft. I mean, that's how much people are dying for a great quarterback. It could be eight. Now, some of those might slip. What a perfect spot, but the second round.
You know what, Nolan, I wanted to get into this a little bit with you, if you don't mind. You know, North Turner is the offensive coordinator for the Cleveland Browns. And, you know, I know they had some injuries and stuff, but, you know, just because you bring an offensive-minded coach in here, I think people are just saying this, like, well, bring an offensive Bill O'Brien or whatever. Now, maybe they come and have tremendous success, and maybe they work with a quarterback or whatever. But you can bring in a guy, North Turner, who has a lot of experience in this league with a head coach, a coordinator, has had success, and some failures as well. But, you know, it isn't exactly like he turned Brandon Whedon around. You know, I mean, so just because you change the offensive staff in here and bring an offensive-minded coach, doesn't necessarily guarantee success. Am I correct with that? I mean, it still has to come down to having the right personnel in place.
Oh, absolutely. Geno Smith has to go out this offseason and study himself playing the game, study the coverages that he sees, learn how to change his protection when a blitz is coming, learn how to read blitzes and where they're coming from. There's a lot to learn. But every quarterback that's a rookie needs to learn these things. You saw an improvement before Tannehill got hurt. You saw an improvement in Tannehill this year from last. He wasn't one of the best quarterbacks in last year's draft, according to multiple people. But you know what? You saw improvement. You saw him reading defenses, changing plays, changing protections. Those are the things that I need to see Geno do in this offseason. Really put his head into the book, learn the proper way to check plays, to figure out what the defense is doing, and more importantly, eliminate turnovers. Make the simple play rather than try to force one in.
Yeah, one other thing, Ron, I want to get your input into this. So I'm kind of tired of hearing about this. This is a little off the subject, but about Ashawn Jeffries, and I want to get your input on this. I'm the greatest post bettor who ever lived. After the game is over, I said, I should have bet on that game. I knew they were going to win. And a lot of people are great post-drafters. And I understand the kind of dichotomy between Ashawn Jeffries and Stephen Hill and this and that. And I think there's two points to this. One is I'm tired of hearing that the Jets should have drafted Ashawn Jeffries. I think if they had a crystal ball, they would have drafted Ashawn Jeffries. Or maybe they would have drafted Bobby Wagner, who was actually taken in the spot that the Jets traded out of, which was 47, who's a linebacker for the Seahawks. Is pretty darn good. All right? Anyway, that first. Second is that the Jets never addressed their offense in the draft. Two guys drafted in the second round who have not worked out very well, Vlad Dukas and Stephen Hill. Now, this is a scouting issue. And I know, Ron, I know you do some scouting yourself, so I want to get into this. But if Stephen Hill and Vlad Dukas had worked out to be, you know, kind of where they were drafted, wouldn't this team be in far better shape? And, you know, maybe that means they have to scout better, but, you know, they did try to address these two positions in the draft. They just failed at it.
Absolutely. They took the best player available in my mind this year, and I know in the past they took Quinton Cobles because Rex fell in love with him in 2012. But, you know, in my mind, with the Stephen Hill and Vlad Dukas, listen, they knew that Stephen Hill was going to be a project. They knew he had tremendous speed, tremendous size. They knew he was going to be a project. He was forced in. He got forced into the starting lineup, and he didn't perform. And who knows, you know, he might not be on the team come next September. So, you know, I don't know. But you know what? Like you said about scouting, Izzy's got his own guys in there now. I am so happy to see that the Tannenbaum crew of scouts, with the exception of Terry Bradway, are gone, and that Izzy has his own scouts. Now, do I know that they're better? No, but I know that Izzy's going to do the best thing he can for this team. He's going to see what the problems are. He's going to bring in guys in the draft that they need, best players available, which in this draft could be a tight end or a wide receiver when they pick. We'll get into that at another time. But he's going to put this team in a position to win. He's going to put this team in a position to improve.
Ron, I have a question for you. Just go back to Geno real quick. And this is something that I've noticed the last couple of weeks and it's starting to bother me. It's twofold. It's, what are your thoughts on Geno Smith's footwork? And the reason why I ask is, everybody keeps telling me how much his footwork's improved, and there's times where I still think he takes too many steps in his drop. It's not a smooth drop. And the second part of my question is, with the Jets' resources they have now, I mean, just in terms of game plan with Curley, Santonio Holmes, all these guys, yesterday and the last couple weeks, like, where are the three-step drops? The quick three-step drop, fire the ball, get it out, get him in rhythm, get the passing game going, things like that. So I guess the first question is, what are your thoughts on Geno's footwork, and has it gotten better? And second, the question is, has that hindered him doing a three-step drop, or are they just not calling those kind of plays for him?
Well, to answer your first question, his footwork has improved. I will definitely say that. However, it's got to drive David Lee, his quarterback coach, nuts, because there are some times in the game where, like you said, he takes seven or eight-step drop. He's throwing off his back foot on a quick five-step drop. He's backpedaling almost to get away from pressure rather than stepping up into the pocket and looking to run or dump it down to somebody. So there are those times where you're like, what is this kid doing? And then there are times like, wow, he stood in the pocket, he stepped up, he threw a beautiful pass over the middle, and the guy was able to run after the catch. as far as the three-step drops, in my mind, thinking offensively as a coach, I think Morningweg doesn't have the confidence that his receivers can get open that quickly. I think it takes him a little bit of time to get separation, which is, again, is a problem. You know, yesterday, it seemed like the Browns linebackers weren't even playing because the Jets, the middle of the field is wide open all day long, and Geno was picking it apart. So I think it takes them a little bit more time than a good receiver core would to get separation. Curley's fast. He's able to get away, but he's able to get away after that first move. He's not somebody who can blow you off. I'll blow you off the line. He's gonna be the type who jukes you out, makes a double move, and finds an open space. So maybe that's why they're not doing as many three-step drops as you want.
So you're thinking it's more a combination of the receivers as opposed to Geno's inability as footwork.
Yeah, well, you know what? They did do one three-step drop yesterday that I happened to notice that he overthrew to Santonio Holmes on the Jets sideline. He threw it over his head. He was throwing off his back foot. His release point was terrible. That could very well be the reason. But if I know that my receivers take a longer time to get open, I'm not going to do three-step drops. It's not going to work.
Yeah, I mean, and that's my, I guess, going forward, that's my question, you know, Dennis, and you know, I'll go back to you, Dennis, but it's just, you know, you hear about all the great work David Lee's doing, and we give Marty Morningweg credit for his creative play calling, and there's times where you're like, wow, this doesn't, you know, like, it just doesn't seem smooth. The offense seems forced. It seems just almost uncomfortable for Geno, and it makes you wonder, like, where, you know, he may be making improvement, but it may have been so bad to start with. But the footwork to me yesterday was, I was watching it, I'm like, wow, I never really noticed how, like, he takes extra steps. He's like, LeBron, like you said, he's off the back foot. So I guess going into next year, if David Lee still is on the staff, they really got to make a concerted effort to really clean up his floor, his mechanics, because there's some times where he looks pretty bad out there, Dennis.
Yeah, you know, and it's somebody I want to bring on because he's a coach as well, and Ron's a coach, and he calls into the show often. It's Hank from State College. So, Hank, it's Dennis, Tyson, and Ron here. Welcome to the show, and I'm sure you were listening in there a little bit, and, you know, maybe you want to elaborate on what we were just discussing and then, you know, get any other points you want to as well.
Yeah, I'd like to agree with Ron because I know what he's talking about. When you don't trust your receivers, you're going to take a little bit more time for them to get open, and we don't have the skill set of receiver that we need. So, you know, hopefully in free agency, it's going to, you know, really address that. And, you know, I think a guy that we could bring in is maybe, you know, Jeremy Maclin. I know he's coming off an injury, but I know he's a decent player. And, you know, I want to give a shout-out to D. Milliner. He played a great game yesterday. I know you guys probably agree with me. You know, he was on Josh Gordon. He did give up 97 yards, but, you know, I'll take that. And then Gordon may have dropped a few passes, but, you know, Milliner did a great job.
So, I agree. Actually, I agree with Milliner, and actually Quinton Coples is really coming on as well, which is really encouraging. I guess, so what are your, Hank, what are your thoughts on this whole Rex Ryan situation? I was curious to get your take on this. I mean, we've been pretty hard on him. I think winning has become a great deodorant for Rex the last couple of weeks, beating the Raiders and the Browns. And, like, I honestly thought the Jets lost yesterday. I thought Rex would probably have been fired today, to be honest with you. So, I mean, do you think that the Jets win yesterday is kind of hiding the fact that people weren't happy with Rex to kind of, like, the deodorant for them? Or, like, what are your thoughts on the Rex Ryan situation?
I'm still standing pat. You know, I think that he should be fired. That's 5 years. He brought us to the playoffs twice. The last 3 years, he didn't. In the last 3 years, we kind of collapsed. And, you know, I know we have collapsed. You know, we beat the Raiders and the Browns this year. You know, they're not the greatest teams. We did beat them. But, you know, we were 5-4, and we were primed for a playoff run, and we just came out flat for three games and got our butts whooped. So it's time for a change. I'm standing pat with it. But I also agree, we can't bring in just another guy just to get rid of Rex. We have to have that guy ready to come in. We have to have, you know, his name ready to be, you know, signed on a paper saying you're in here and Rex is gone. If not, we got to keep Rex, and we got to keep him for at least 3 or 4 more years. Because if not, it is a waste. Like Dennis said, it's a waste, total waste.
Yeah, I mean, Hank, that's my biggest concern is that. I mean,
I mean, I could see the Jets firing Rex, but don't tell me how you're hiring a consulting firm and having this 3-month coaching candidate search, because that's going to piss me off. If you're going to fire him, I want to have a legitimate plan in place saying, you know, we're bringing in Wisenhunt, O'Brien, and somebody else. We'll have the decision made in 2 weeks. Like, they have a guy that you know they're going to get. But I guess my next question for you is, how much of a factor do you think Woody Johnson is going to play in this? And the reason why I keep asking this is because, you know, Rex Ryan's the face of the franchise. Now the fans are all rallying around him. I mean, Twitter has Keep Rex, and everybody loves Rex Ryan today. How much of a factor do you think that's going to play in this, you know, Woody Johnson and kind of the fan pressure? Do you see that as being any kind of factor in this?
Well, I don't know. Woody does what he wants to do. I mean, we know that. I don't think he really has the passion for the game that some other type of owners have. I mean, to me, Woody is right in line with not as bad as Jerry Jones and Daniel Snyder, but he just seems to do what he wants, and it's not based on football and wins. It's based on money. And really, it comes down, it is a business, but the business is winning.
I mean, I agree. You get kind of, you know, nervous about that because, you know, it's just, it is a business, and Jets need to sell tickets. They want to market themselves. You know, and I guess, Hank, I guess, you know, Ron just mentioned the thing about with the receivers and not getting separation and things like that. One of the things I was watching yesterday was Geno Smith's footwork. And, you know, you're kind of hoping it's week 15 now. It's like, all right, where are we at with this kid? We're looking towards next year. Even if Morning Lake doesn't come back, you need to know what you have in your quarterback. So I guess, what did you see out of Geno? Like, have you seen this improvement that everybody's looking to get from him?
I've seen, you know, a significant improvement in him, especially yesterday. I've seen him step up at times when he needed to. I mean, I did see him throw off his back foot to Santonio Holmes, which was horrible. And you see really good periods of it, but then you see really, really bad periods of it. And at times I'm scared, at times I'm elated. But he's a rookie. He's played 15 games. You know, we don't have the luxury to go back on a veteran quarterback, you know. And again, that's Rex's fault, okay? We lost a veteran quarterback in the beginning of the year before week one. So, you know, I'm a little concerned with Geno, but I think we can move forward with him.
I mean, I guess Ron, we'll hand it over to you. I'm not confident going into next season as Geno as our primary guy with Matt Sims and whoever, David Garrard, I guess, is supposedly coming back now. I'm not completely confident with that at all. And that to me is a huge concern if you're going to bring in a new coach and you're still working on a quarterback. I mean, what other than Geno, Ron, what are your concerns on offense? Is it adding those playmakers at receiver, getting a legitimate tight end? Is it, you know, beefing up and maybe re-signing Austin Howard? Like, how would you attack the offense next year?
Well, first things first, if you're going to put all your eggs in Geno Smith's basket, you got to protect them. So they've got to find, you know, I think their line was a B line this year, maybe a B minus overall, you know. I, like you said, I think bringing back Austin Howard is big, just for the communication portion of the offensive line. You're going to have Mangold. You're going to have DeBrickashaw. You know, Winters next year has to make a dramatic improvement. Then you got to make a decision. I know you guys spoke last week about some free agent guards, or do you bring Willie Colon back as like a stopgap guy and draft somebody, or do you use like a Will Campbell, you know, who's been inactive every game this year, you know, as a backup and let him learn and learn and learn from a guy like Willie Colon again next year. But I do think you got to put an offensive line in front of Geno. You got to give him some receivers who can not only make the catches, but open up the field, spread the field. You have to have a legitimate deep threat. Does anybody think Stephen Hill is a legitimate deep threat? Because I don't at all. They need a legitimate deep threat who's a home run hitter, any play of the game, they could take it and go to house with it. That's what they're going to need. And if they do that, I do think that you'll see improvement in Geno next year.
Hank, go ahead.
Jacoby Jones is a free agent at the end of the year. I believe he is. I'm not
sure. He is. So is Emmanuel Sanders. Well, what about Emmanuel Sanders or Jones? How about one of those two? What do you think of those two guys? I kind of like Sanders myself, but you know, give me your evaluation on those two guys.
I think those guys will be a great fit. I mean, they're, you know, they're leagues away from Stephen Hill, above him. I mean, do you guys even know that Stephen Hill's not playing? Because I don't. When I watched the game, I didn't know he wasn't out there.
Yeah.
I knew he was.
Hank, I'm enjoying the game more. I enjoyed seeing David Nelson out there and Greg Salas a lot more than seeing 84 out there.
Yeah, because we know those guys they have some type of ability. You know, they want to be out there. It doesn't seem like Stephen Hill has the passion for the game that these other guys have. I mean, I don't know the guy personally. It's just what I get from when I look at him, when I watch him play, and I can see when players want to play and when players are just out there just to play it, just to do it.
Hank, let me jump in here real quick, and we're going to wrap up with this call, and we really appreciate your input. You are a coach, and so is Ron. I really appreciate you guys coming on and giving your insight. But I got kind of a thing to talk about Stephen Hill. I had the pleasure of going out to California to cover Jets West, and I interviewed Stephen Hill, okay? And at first I talked to him, I asked him about his knee, and he talked about his knee. And then I said, you know, last year, yeah, some injuries, I talked about the drops, a little like inconsistencies, and he made a face to me, okay? He made a face like a sourpuss, like he was very upset with my question. So I thought it was a very legitimate question. And the interesting thing was, he went on an NFL Network after that and said, oh, yeah, we're going to go to the playoffs. We're going to go deep in the playoffs. And they proceeded on NFL Network to make fun of him. I don't know if you remember this. They said, come on, man, not going. This is NFL Network. This isn't, you know, Jet Nation Radio, or actually it was courtesy of my good friend Julian Carter at Green Zone Radio. But, you know, he made a because I actually dared ask him a question about the inconsistencies that he had in 2012 and that we expect a lot more out of him. So I think personally for me, I was turned off by him at that moment and said maybe this guy doesn't have the maturity and the makeup to be successful in this league, and maybe that's what you've seen moving forward. And I tell you this much, I'll take 5 David Nelsons over what Stephen Hill will give you. But Hank, looks like I got another caller hanging on the line. Happy holidays to you. We really appreciate your input, as always. And, we, you know, again, you know, hope yours and family have a healthy and happy.
Hey, you two guys, happy holidays. Be safe, and go Jets.
All right, Hank, you take care. Bye, buddy. All right, that was our friend Hank, and we do have another caller hanging on the line here, so I'm going to bring him on. It's our buddy Mike from Port Jefferson. So, Mike, hey. We have Dennis, Tyson, and Ron tonight. We got a bonus co-host.
Wow.
We got Ron. So, Mike,
we got
what
the
hat trick
going here.
All
right.
we got the triple play. So, what do you got for
us
on the Jets?
Well, first of all, I was listening to before, and I totally agree with what Ron was saying. Well, first of all, I'm going to say bring Ricks back. Okay, we'll get that out of the way. The big elephant in the room. Second of all, you got to protect Geno. Yesterday, I loved the fact he did some really good things. The line did a good job. For the most part, except the left side again. Of course, the pass that got batted down right in front of Winters again. He's got to learn how to do a better job, or else we got to move on to the next person. Third of all, the receivers, they need to get separation. We need to find receivers that can get separation and get open, whether it's a three-step drop or whatever. These guys need to have skill. And I totally agree with you, Dennis, when it comes to David Nelson. It was amazing. He had an unbelievable game, you know, against his former team. I will take 5 David Nelsons over Stephen Hill any day. Because, like I said, I don't like the fact Stephen Hill, I don't like his body language. I didn't like his body language in minicamp. He seemed like every time he goes down for a ball or something like that, he'll get up and he looks like an 80-year-old old man. All right? Do you want to play football or not? You know, it's just he doesn't look like he has the heart in it. And when it comes to a free agency, I agree with you, Emmanuel Sanders would be a wonderful pick. Also, I was looking at somebody in the draft that intrigues me. Is Watkins from Clemson as one of our draft picks. I think that
Mike,
guy
I
would
a question
be...
for you, Mike, and I agree with all the points you're making. And the one position that seems to me keeps getting looked past, and Dennis is going to love this, he's exactly where I'm going with this one, is a tight end position. And the thing is, like, everybody's on Stephen Hill and ripping him to shreds, and rightfully so, but Mike, what are your thoughts on the performance of Jeff Cumberland this year? I mean, this offense is lacking playmakers. I mean, if you're going to shine, this is the chance to shine because there's no legitimate target. There's really no safety foul for Geno Smith. So what are your thoughts on the performance of Jeff Cumberland this year?
You know, he's great and everything else, but like I said, look at this past year draft, they've had some great tight ends that were in the draft, too. We could have addressed it then, but like I said, we're going to need to work on that because we need to have a guy who can be a threat at the tight end, you know, because Geno's going to need as much help as possible. And Cumberland's nice and everything else, but you know what? I need somebody with a little more skill level, you know, whether that's going to be a free agent or in the draft or what, because, you know, you look around the league and these tight ends are amazing. And nothing against Cumberland, but we're down below the rest of the league's level when it comes to skill set and tight end. You know, whether you're talking about Pitta or you're talking about Tony Gonzalez or you're talking about Gronk or, you know, you name it. Vernon Davis, it's the same thing. We got Cumberland. Now, he's a good player, he's nice and everything else, but you know what? If you want to really stretch the field and actually have this offense going down the field, you're going to need a tight end that actually have a little better skill set.
Yeah, and that's exactly what my take is, too. I mean, I was excited to see what Winslow can bring, but his knees, I mean, it's obvious his body can't take the wear and tear on a daily basis. So I guess, Ron, the same question goes to you. It's just like we keep focusing on Stephen Hill and how Santonio Holmes keeps chopping every pass going his way. What is your evaluation of Jeff Cumberland in a tight end position?
I think Mike said all of what he was talking about with Jeff Cumberland. He's a nice tight end. He's a good guy to have on the team as maybe a backup, but he can't be the every down tight end. I mean, he has 25 catches this year. David Nelson has started 5 games and has 31 catches. So what does that tell me? It's telling me that, one, Geno Smith's not looking for him, or two, he can't get open. Now, I've seen in the last few weeks Cumberland trying to run an out route. On balls, he should catch. A good tight end would catch. And he's not making the play. I don't know if it's that he's a lesser athlete than some of these other tight ends. Maybe that's what it is. But, everybody always spoke about how fast Jeff Cumberland was. He can't separate, and he's not making good catches. He's not making big catches. You need a tight end who on third down you can rely on. Like Mike said, Dennis Pitta type tight end who you can rely on to get open on third down, to beat a linebacker in coverage over the middle. Something similar to what Kellen Winslow was able to do yesterday. You need a guy like that. Cumberland is a nice guy to have. He's not the guy to have.
Ron, I think Cumberland's a nice number two guy. Mike, hold on 1 second. I think Cumberland's a nice number two. He's a nice backup tight end, you know, a second type of tight end, and you want to put someone more dynamic in front of him. And I think if you brought Cumberland back, you'd be fine with it. Again, you want guys who are behind the starter who could start in case of an injury or something, who you feel at least comfortable for a game or so. But right now, yes, that's a glaring need at tight end. But, Mike, I want to get into this quickly. And I want Ron to respond with you yourself, Mike, after you give your answer, okay? Mm-hmm. I want to talk about two guys, all right? First of all is Lijay Dusable. I had the opportunity to speak with Lijay. We had him on the show. I had the opportunity to speak with him. I really like Lijay, not only what he gives on the field, but what he gives off the field. He really is a team player. He has a very good attitude about, he's just kind of like, he's not intimidated, but he's not conceited. He feels like he can go out there, he can match up with anybody, and he wants to win, and he's the type of guy you need on this team. Now, he's going to be a free agent after this year. I think the Jets need to make it a priority to bring him back. So, one, I want you to touch on Lijay Dusable. The second one is, and we discussed a little bit, Mike, is Antonio Cromartie. Now, I know he's been dealing with the hip a little bit, but let's just say the hip is something that's going to take a little time to heal up, isn't that serious. I believe to have some continuity in the secondary that you have to bring Antonio Cromartie back. Yes, he has a high cap number. They can work on that. But that's my opinion. I want you to give your opinion on those two players, Lijay Dusable and Antonio Cromartie, who is under contract next year, Cromartie. And then I want Ron to respond to you. So go ahead, Mike.
Well, first of all, Dusable. Lijay, all right, a man like that, I would let him in the lineup any day, okay? With a name like that, first of all, besides he's got skill, but I agree with you. He's the type of guy, he's a lunch pail kind of guy. I love this guy, his heart, the way he hustles. Yesterday, he would have ran through a brick wall yesterday. I would definitely try to bring him back. Obviously, if he goes with this enormous number, you got to make your decisions. Cromartie, you know what? That hip is scaring me. That hip is really scaring me. I know what Ed Reed went through. You know, these corners got to be able to make the turns. They got to be flexible. He's going to be 30 years old, or he already is 30 years old. He's going to be a high number on the cap. I don't know. That's going to be a tough decision. We're going to have to really get down deep and look and see whether he's going to be able to be at least somewhat of the player he used to be. Because this year he was a shell of what he was. He was absolutely a shell of what he was. He's not really nearly as good.
Let Ron jump in here, okay? Go ahead, Ron.
Well, first of all, Lee J. Dusable is definitely a guy that I would bring back. I don't know how much he's going to cost, you know, but, you know, for somebody who isn't kind of picked up off the street almost in minicamp, I mean, training camp, he's done a pretty good job and had a decent impact on this defense this year. I hope he works on his dance moves a little bit after he makes a play. But listen, like you said about him, when I heard him on this radio show, he's a team guy. He's that guy you want in your locker room that's keeping the guys together. He's a great person to have, a really, really nice guy. He's able to handle the media. And above all of it, he's a great player. He's playing at a phenomenal rate right now. So I bring him back. Cromartie, you know what? Like you said, Dennis, you got to have some continuity in the defensive backfield. If you bring back Cromartie, you bring in maybe maybe like an Altron Werner as a free agent or something like that. You know, maybe somebody a little lesser than that. You need somebody as a backup to Cromartie. You need somebody because, like Mike said, hip injuries don't just go away, and you know that's very scary for a guy who's getting towards the end of his career to have a hip injury. Now, maybe it's just something that needs rest. I don't know, but you know, Antonio Cromartie is scaring me right now. Like Dennis said, they can work on his cap number a little bit. So, in my mind, I bring both of those guys back.
Ron, I had a question for you. We're talking about a lot of guys, like, you know, we're talking about Dusable, which I think has been a great addition. He's got a great motor. He's got a great attitude. Everybody agrees that we should bring him back. One of the guys that kind of intrigues me is, whatever happened to Kendrick Ellis? Like, what are your thoughts on Kendrick Ellis? He kind of seems like a lost man on the defensive line now, no?
Well, no, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I think he was playing pretty well when I saw him in there, except for the fact that he keeps jumping off sides, trying to jump the snap count. But he's made some plays in there. I would watch that tape back and watch 93 make some plays. But I think the thing that hurt him this year was the fact that Dusable was playing so well and the surprise of Damon Harrison. You know, Rex has really leaned on him, and he's performed. Damon Harrison has really taken over what they thought Kendrick Ellis could do. I'm not saying that he's not a good player, because I do think he could still be good. But you know what, Tyson, you got me thinking. Maybe he's some type of trade material.
Well, that'll be interesting. Ron, listen, I just want to touch on one quick thing, and then we're going to wrap up with Mike. I don't think that Altron Werner the Jets would be able to really spend the money on Altron Werner. They might as well have kept Terrell Revis. But that's a nice name. If they can get him at a reasonable price, I'd love to have him in here. But, Mike, listen, we really appreciate you calling in tonight to Jet Nation mm-hmm. Radio. You've been a great fan all year. You've been supportive of mm-hmm. us, and we do appreciate it. And Tyson, myself, Ron, all Jet Nation, we really want to wish you a happy holiday season. And, go Jets.
Yeah, great year, guys. Thank you very much for everything. Happy holidays to you both, all right? Take care.
All right, Mike, you take care now. All right, that was our friend Mike from Port Jeff. And, just great input tonight from the callers, and it really is interesting. There's so many topics going on with this team. We have a lot of things to discuss. And, guys, I'm going to try to maybe go a little rapid fire here with some names. I brought up Dusable and Cromartie, and we'll throw some other names out there. Let's see if we can get, because we're starting to run low on time. But here's a guy, Calvin Pace. And Tyson, I'll go Tyson and Ron. Tyson, I mean, do you think you could squeeze one more year in a Calvin Pace? I mean, you know what? They are a little weak at that position.
Absolutely, Dennis. I mean, when they signed Calvin Pace this year, we were both excited about it. Because now it's like what the Jets were lacking last year was explosive, dynamic players in the middle of the line, like the Sheldon mm-hmm. Richardson, the Damon Harrison, the Dusable. Now they have the athletic defensive line. The linebackers getting free to make plays. Copels is making plays, and Pace is making plays. So if you can get a guy, especially 10 sacks, especially for this, I mean, Dennis, what's his cap number? It's cheap.
Well, if he signs a veteran's minimum deal, he'll be a free agent next year. Again, some of the guys are free agents, but where is he going to go? Like, was he 32 years old? If he signs a veteran's minimum deal, it will be a very cheap deal. And you know what? The worst-case scenario is, you release him if you had to. But if he can come in and give you some production while you develop a young guy, I think it's great. Ron, what's your input on that?
I think you do bring him back, and I think that maybe it might take a little bit of time for Antoine Barnes to heal up for his injury, and I think that Calvin Pace has done an outstanding. I don't think that the Jets really thought that Calvin Pace was going to have as much of an impact as he really
uh-huh.
was. think he was really signed as a depth guy and to help a guy like Antoine Barnes. But you know what? 10 sacks. You can't really argue with 10 sacks. I mean, the guy's played at an unbelievable level, and I bring it up every Sunday. You know, I think that a light bulb went off in Calvin Pace's head when the Jets cut him and said, man, I got to perform. I got to perform for him to play back at that level. And he's really done a great job this year. I'd bring him back one more year, absolutely.
What about, again, I'm trying to go through free agents here. So what about guys like Garrett McIntyre and Nick Ballore? They're both restricted free agents, okay? I think you tender them both. I think maybe you tender McIntyre at a second-round level, which is a little over $2 million, just because you can maybe see some team taking a flyer on him, trying to steal him away from you. Nick Ballore is the leader in special teams tackles. He's a special teams ace. I think you can bring him back. Again, you can give him the lowest restricted tender, which is about $1.4 million. That, look, almost nobody moves in restricted free agency. Last year, the Patriots tried to get Emmanuel Sanders away from the Steelers, and the Steelers matched the offer. There's been basically no movement over the last several years of restricted free agency. So the Jets want those guys back. They get them. I like those two tenders right there for those guys to bring them back. Tyson, then Ron, what do you think about those two guys, those two linebackers, good special teams guys? McIntyre has played a lot in the defense.
Well, and if, I'm going to take my answer and make it Ron's answer, because my question for Ron is, Mike Westhoff has been very openly vocal about saying how the Jets are lacking talent on special teams, and I think it's a big issue. You need guys that are just, you know, fly on the field, you know, reckless abandon, and just hit people, attack, and Jets don't have that, and it's obvious. So my question is, if you want to keep guys like Ballore and McIntyre, are these the kind of special teams guys you need, or do you say, you know what, we need more youth, we need more speed, we need something else? Like, so Ron, what's your thoughts on these guys in terms of, like, improving special teams?
I personally think you need both of them, and the reason why you need a guy like Ballore is like Dennis said, that guy is always in the position that he's supposed to be in. He's always in a position where he's going to be able to make a tackle or make a play to make a big stop. The thing with Garrett McIntyre that he gives you a little more than what Ballore would give you is that McIntyre can rush the passer a little bit too. So I would say bring both of them back. I think those are the type of players that you need. And like what I think what Tyson you're referring to is getting a little bit more athletic, a little more speed out there, like a Marquise Cole, like we used to, you know, the Jets used to have, a Drew Coleman, somebody like that who's going to go down there with reckless abandon and make a play. I definitely think you can do that. I think you do that through the late picks in the draft. You might do that, but I don't think you would do it through free agency as much. Some late picks in the draft, maybe a couple guys you pick up here and there, and a lot of defensive backs like Ellis Langster or people like that.
Yeah, and that was actually, you went right where I wanted you to go, Ron, was, you know, going into the secondary, we have guys like Langster and, you know, Darren Walls and all these guys. But, like I miss, like, a guy like Ahedebo. Like, these guys are all, like, special teams guys that, you know, special teams are, you know, a crucial part of the game, and sometimes they get overlooked. And it's crucial yards you can gain or lose and things like that. So are there guys, like, in the secondary, like, could their return next year be contingent on their special teams play?
Absolutely. Every team in the NFL uses defensive backs for special teams. They use them to cover the gunners on punts. They use them to get down the field on punts. So guys like Isaiah Trufant, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Ellis Langster is a free agent this year. And one guy who I think hurt the special teams a little bit this year, and it hasn't really been spoken about a lot, is a guy like Aaron Berry. You know, people forget how he got hurt so early on. I mean, he could have been a guy who helped tremendously on special teams. But, again, you know, you lose him, you know, plug and play some guys here and there, and special teams has not played well.
All right, guys, as we're going to kind of wrap this up, I got my last, you know, couple guys, and then we'll wrap up the show in another great episode of Jet Nation Radio. You know, we appreciate Ron jumping on, giving his input, all the callers, and, you know, it's just been a wonderful, you know, hour so far. And the last couple guys here I'm going to get into is Kellen Winslow. You know, you bring him back on a veteran's minimum with no guaranteed money and take a flyer on him, and, you know, he understands he has to have a diminished role, or do you not like his attitude, et cetera. The other guy is DeJuan Landry, who is under contract next year, but, you know, it's about $1.5 million, I think they save on the cap if they release him. And, you know, he's been all right. I mean, you just keep him around because you're a little weak at the position. So, I mean, here's the thing. Do you bring Winslow back, and do you keep on with DeJuan, or do you let him go and maybe go in another direction?
Dennis, for me personally, I move on from Kellen Winslow. And the reason why is I'm done with the Band-Aids. I mean, I want young, proven talent.
I want playmakers. And it's like, if we're going to start hiding guys and keep guys around just for, like, a Band-Aid purpose, we got to get out of that mold. So for me, I mean, since we don't have Tyler Eifert, I'm going to the draft. I'm getting young guys, and I'm moving on from Kellen Winslow. You know, I mean, I think Ron, what do you think about him? I mean, I'm kind of like, I'm ready to move on. I like what he brought to the table, but I think enough's enough with Kellen.
I'm in the same boat. He's getting old. He mouthed off at the beginning of the year, you know, about seeing the ball and getting catches and blah, 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 blah. You know, I'm ready to move on from him. And more importantly, you know, forgetting about him, you got to see what some of these young guys can do. I mean, they got this Zach Sudfeld who, you know, he barely even plays. You know, they got him for the Patriots. He barely plays, but see what he can do in an offseason. Chris Pantale from Boston College, who's on their roster right now, that kid would have been a draft pick had he not got hurt at the end of the year for Boston College. See what he could do. Why not? Why, like Tyson said, why bring in a Band-Aid again? Let's see what these young guys can do. Maybe get a free agent, bring in a draft pick, and now let's have true competition at that position.
All right, well, we're going to do one quick thing before we wrap up here, which is, and then we're going to get you guys' prediction on the Miami game. We don't have to get too elaborate. Look, they're in position, so obviously this game means everything to them. It's on their home field. They just went up to Buffalo and laid an egg after beating the Patriots. So I guess I'll go Tyson first, then Ron, then I'll leave myself for last. Lucky me. Why don't you give me a prediction, a score, you know, kind of what you think is going to happen and how the game's going to go. Tyson, then Ron.
I think this is an interesting game because I'm real curious to see what the Jets do for Rex Ryan. I mean, obviously there's all this turmoil surrounding him. Does the team come out inspired and want to really go out on a high note, or do they just come out flat because on the road they want to mail it in? So I personally think that Rex is going to have this team ready to play on Sunday, and I think they're going to put a big-time effort. I mean, for whatever reason, the Dolphins refused to protect Tannehill on Sunday. He got his tail kicked. So I think the Jets are going to get after him. The Dolphins blueprint's pretty easy. It's hit Tannehill and cover Mike Wallace. I mean, Charles Clay is a threat, but, I mean, it's the blueprint's pretty obvious. Their offense is kind of struggling as well. So I'm going to say 20-17 Jets, they knocked the Dolphins out of the playoffs. So what about you, Ron?
Tyson, I literally just wrote down 20-17, and I said the Dolphins. Dolphins 20, Jets 17. And the reason why I'm saying that is this. I don't know if Ryan Tannehill is going to play or not. That's the easy way out. But they're in Miami. Miami has something to play for. They're going to go back and forth. It's not going to be a high-scoring game by either offense, especially if Tannehill is out. You know, all signs point against the Jets here. I say, I hate to be a pessimist, but I say 20-17 Dolphins.
All right, Ken. I'll just quickly give my. As a late Christmas present to the Jets fans, Rex Ryan and company gives us what we desire to watch the Miami Dolphins on their home field go down and miss the playoffs and finish 8-8 tied with us. So B-O-O-H-O-O to all the Dolphins, thought you were going to the playoffs. The Jets are going to win this game 27-17. Mark it down because it's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. All right. So listen, we're going to wrap up. Oh, yes, sir.
Oh, listen, I say it would be nice to return the favor on the Dolphins on their home field like they did a couple of years ago to us, knock them out of the playoffs.
Yes, it would definitely be. Maybe San Antonio Holmes will actually stick around and you know, give a little more effort this time. But I do want to thank Tyson Rausch and Ron Pickett from coming on. Ron, you just want to give out your Twitter handle to the listeners so they give you a follow. Ron does all our player personnel stuff on JetNation.com. He does a lot of film breakdown. He does our draft stuff. So, Ron, would you mind giving out your Twitter handle to the listeners? I suggest you give Ron a follow if you want to keep up with some good writings on our New York Jets.
Yeah, sure. I'm going to be doing a lot of draft stuff coming up in the upcoming weeks. But my Twitter handle is at Ron, RonPickett. JN, as in Jet Nation, and you could follow me on there. I'm interactive. I talk with everybody. I like to have a nice conversation about the Jets any time of the day. Feel free.
All right, Tyson. Listen, Tyson and Ron, thank you very much. I want to wish you guys a happy holiday. I you know, we kind of push this to Monday because obviously I don't think that Ron and Tyson and myself on Christmas Eve, you know, as much as we love the Jets. We moved up a day early. It looks like we're going to be maybe moving up next week a day early as well. I think New Year's Eve is Tuesday. But just keep posted at Jet Nation Radio on Twitter or at Jet Nation or at TRoush21, which is Tyson's handle, or at my handle, Dennis_Agapito, and we'll give you an updated time for Monday. But, guys, listen, thank you very much. Happy holidays to you, healthy and happy one, and your families.
Yeah, Dennis, thank you very much. And, Ron, thank you. I hope you guys both have a great holiday. And thank you for the callers and, you know, all the Jet fans. Excuse me, all the Jet fans, too. It's like, at the end of the day, it's a game, so hope there is a great holiday.
Yes, that's very important. So, for Ron Pickett, for Tyson Roush, this is Dennis Agapito. Jet Nation, happy holidays, and we'll see you Monday at 8 o'clock.